Good morning. Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. You can stretch. We'll have a prayer here. I feel very needy of myself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful redemption that you provided for us. Father, that you didn't leave us there on that junk pile. But Lord, for some reason, your heart was moved with your creation, and you sought to redeem it and glorify yourself through your own work. Lord, and I pray that our lives would indeed bring glory to you. Thank you that we can be redeemed, that we can enter into your presence, washed in the blood of the Lamb, not by our righteousness, not by us pulling ourselves together and calling off that junk pile, but Lord, through your work, through your amazing the strength of your holy arm, Lord, you redeemed us. Lord, you redeemed us from the clutches of the enemy and his power in our lives. Lord, now you fill us with your Spirit and you make us your own. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless us now as we look at some more scriptures and at the confidence that we can have in you. And help me as I share, Lord, the last thing I want to do is to give anyone here that is not right with you a false assurance, but neither do I want to cause anyone to struggle who is seeking to walk in a pleasing way to you. So help me, Father, I pray. Bless each one of these dear people. We pray that we could all prosper in our walk with you and be right with you. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I thought of Psalm 4:17. Maybe I'll just read that here to you all. As Mark was sharing, I thought of this song, and it goes along well with what he and I both want to share. And can it be that I should gain, an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain? For me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy, all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me, as it found out you this morning. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And here the last verse goes along with what I want to share about assurance of salvation. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing. Just thought of that as Brother Mark was sharing. Yeah, the next subject on our list of doctrines that we're looking at here in this series is assurance of salvation. So I'll endeavor to share briefly on that here this morning. And like I've said in my prayer there, the last thing that I want to do in this topic here is to cause anyone to struggle in a wrong way. It's something that I struggled with myself in the past, so it's something that is close to my heart, and I want to endeavor by God's grace to bring a biblical balance to it. And so maybe here at the beginning I could share a little bit of my own story. When I was about 15, we began to associate some with some of the charity, I guess, circles, and heard teachings on assurance of salvation and that you can know that you're saved. And you know, I desired to be saved. I desired to walk with God and be a true Christian. And I, you know, I guess to me, I thought this assurance was something that once you know that you're saved, you know, regardless, more like once saved, always saved. I had a little bit of unclear understanding, or I can't remember clearly how it was, but I began to really seek God. I began to desire to have this, but yet, as hard as I tried to to work up a feeling. I couldn't work up a feeling. I just like, what do you, how do I know? What do I base this knowledge on? And so I went through a deep struggle probably for about 3 months there, just of agony of soul, and talked to a lot of different people, and I wanted to witness for the Lord. I thought we should be, but yet I myself lacked confidence. I myself lacked assurance. And so yeah, it was a long, dark struggle there, until I came to finally the place where I just, came to a place, I guess you might call it, of surrender from my own works, for ceasing to try to make it, to try to make myself be pleasing to God in my own works, but instead I put my faith in the promises of God. And that's where I finally came to find peace and rest in my soul and what I sense to be a witness of the Spirit. And so that's a little bit of my story there, and I'll probably come back to that a little later towards the end of our little talk here. So I have 3 points this morning. Maybe I'll just go ahead and put them on the board so you can kind of follow along. There's a lot we could share about it, but I'm going to try to keep it into 3 points. First point here is God wants us to have assurance. Amen? Do you believe that God wants us to have it? And it's not some arrogant unwillingness to examine ourselves. It's rather a peace in our heart. You know, we see all through the Scriptures, God, you know, when angel appears, and peace be unto you. God desires that His children have a rest and a confidence that He's pleased with them. If their life is clear, if our conscience is clear, if we're not hiding sin, I believe God's a heavenly Father. Amen? And you know, the condition of our soul is a huge thing, right? It's a very serious thing. And so I believe our Heavenly Father in heaven desires that we have a sense of confidence, a sense of assurance in our heart of our soul's condition. And the opposite's true. When our conscience is clouded, the Spirit's very faithful to take away that peace, and conviction comes and it causes us to seek the Lord. I'll read a few scriptures, then I'll have you turn to a few. So I'll just read this one here, Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. I really like this passage here. I remember way back, Brother Leonard, that Philip Rudolph taught, I think it was Philip, taught on this, I believe, years ago. Hebrews 6, 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. There's something very sure here. He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Can God lie? No. It's impossible for God to lie. He is truth. And because of that, we might have a strong consolation, a strong sense of well-being, a strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Mark talked about that. We needed salvation. We needed a remedy. And we fled to Christ. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's not some vague hope that you hope it rains tomorrow. You know, that it may or may not. But it's a hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both what? Sure and steadfast. Which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what I remember about this passage as he expounded it to us was this hope that we have as an anchor of the soul which entereth into the veil, both sure and steadfast. He said it's a picture there of a ship out there in the harbor. It has come in, but the water is too rough. There's too much wind and waves. There's maybe a storm brewing. And so it sends an anchor, a cable up ahead with a little boat that doesn't, you know, go so deep, or the rocks, because, you know, if it's rough, turbulent waters, a ship might be dashed on a rock. So it sends a little boat in the, ahead with a cable, an anchor that enters into the harbor up there, and it fastens in there, then it rides out the storm out there, farther out where the water is deeper, where it's safe, until the thing calms enough that it can go on in. So it's still in the storm. It's still, and we are still in the world, but Christ is going forth. And there's something, a connection with us and Him. And it's something that's solid. It's a steadfast hope. It's not something that we don't have to worry that the cable's going to snap as the waves hit us. But there's a sure and steadfast hope we have that Jesus went into there, and he has us safe. Another picture of rest. I just read it last week. It blessed me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ desires that we can be at a place of rest and not in continual turmoil and burden and heavy laden, but that we can find rest as we go to Him and take His yoke upon us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. We're looking here at how God wants us to have assurance. Something that He gives to His children. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul had assurance. He says here, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He had walked in the way. Amen. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." So here we see that Paul didn't have some vague hope, as you hope it might rain tomorrow, but you don't know if it will. There was a confidence in Paul's heart that there was a crown awaiting him. If he went out of this world today, there was a crown awaiting for him. So Paul obviously had some assurance. Another place Paul says that he was in a strait betwixt two. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ. Amen. So there again, we see that Paul, he had a confidence. He had an assurance. God wants us to have an assurance. Turn also to 1 John 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. First John 5, verse 13. "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So here, the Apostle John is writing to them, those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that they might know. So there again, from the Word of God, we see that God has it in His Word that we can have a confidence. We can know that we have been passed from death into life. And there's many other verses. There's many other things in the book of John that touch on this very topic. If you love the brethren, you know, we know we've passed from death to life because there's been a change in our heart. We're different. God, as we abiding in that vine, there's little fruits that begin to appear in our life. So John says here that he's writing unto them that they can know, that they can experience that rest, that they can cease from that turmoil and agony of soul, as I did, and find that rest and confidence in the Lord. Through faith, it's here. It says here that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's how we have that. It's through faith in Him. We believe we can have a proper assurance. We believe that God wants us to have that. It's not an arrogant refusal to examine ourselves. No, it's not an arrogant refusal to examine ourselves, but rather a humble rest and confidence in the promises of God, a rest and a confidence in our soul. Would God give us the responsibility to work out our soul salvation, but never let us know that we have, and have us always living in doubt and uncertainty? Would that be like a Heavenly Father? How can we call others to salvation if we have no assurance that we have been saved? Okay, so that was number one. Point number two, I just want to talk a little bit about a proper understanding of assurance. We touched on it a little bit here. A proper understanding of assurance. because as I mentioned, you know, some people would teach, some people would believe that we can't know and that all we have is a vague hope, you know, like we might hope it rains tomorrow. We probably hope it won't rain, right? we've been getting a lot of rain, which will help the grass and the gardens this summer. But yeah, it's not some vague hit or miss thing. Some believe that it's that way. So that's the one side. There's, you know, we can't know. You know, it's just a vague hope. And the other side is those that think that you have to know that you know that you know, and almost maybe in an arrogant way, to where you refuse to even examine. You know, and I don't think that's biblical either. Don't want to jump ahead of myself too much here. I'll just stick to my notes here. So you have the two camps there. You have the two sides. I'd like to look at another passage here. Remember we looked at what Paul said. Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered. There's a crown waiting for me." He says, "I'm torn between two. I'd like to stay here and be with y'all, but I'd also like to just go and be with the Lord." And there was a confidence Paul had in his heart. Amen? But the same Paul also says, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. So, you view this as a present confidence. But yet, as Mark brought out, there is the way. We enter in. Salvation is the door. We enter into that way and we walk. And we're not at the end of our life yet, right? And so Paul, this same Paul also had a measure of fear. Fear of God. I want to bring this proper balance into this topic of assurance of salvation. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul says, "But I keep under my body." You know, this body can take dominion of our life if we allow it to. This flesh can bring us under. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Why? Look at what he says here. This doesn't sound like assurance of salvation, does it? "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That sounds pretty serious. This is the same Paul. Confidence. Assurance. I'm ready to go. But yeah, he says, "I keep under my body, lest while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He realized that though the cable was in there in the harbor, he's still out here and there is a real cause to be on guard. So it's not an assurance that takes away all cause for carefulness. 2 Corinthians 13, turn there yet if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" So here Paul is writing to a church, and he's telling them to examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. So while there is while God wants us to have an assurance, we need to have a proper understanding of this assurance, and it's not a thing where it's a refusal to examine my life. You know, you go into the store sometimes and you pay up $100 bill. What do? They grab that marker pen out and they put that mark on. Do you ever start squirming a little bit and like, I don't want to check my $100 bill? I mean, I don't. You probably don't either. It's just like, go ahead and mark it. I'm not worried about it. And if we're and the same is true in our life. You know, if we're seeking to walk in the light we shouldn't make us uncomfortable to examine ourselves and from time to time and check ourselves out. You know, if a person begins to squirm there as they bring that pen out, maybe there's a reason for that. And so it doesn't have to be examining ourselves doesn't have to be a bad thing. Another thing, too, that I really appreciate about John Byers up there at a leadership seminar was that he said that there's three stages of salvation. I think it helps us, too, to have a proper understanding of assurance is to realize that there's three stages of assurance. I mean, three stages of salvation. And he said, picture this big cruise ship, out there. I should get Ben to draw this thing. But, this big cruise ship, maybe that's more like an ocean liner, but anyway. And maybe the Titanic would be a good illustration of it. But this thing, for some reason, this thing is going to go down. You just know that it is going to sink. There's people on there. They're partying. They're having a grand time. But that thing is destined to destruction. And that's a picture of the world. But then there's this little lifeboat or this, raft thing over here. And this is salvation. And this is, Jesus Christ is the one that runs that lifeboat, and you get off this ship, and you get on board this lifeboat, and so in that sense you're saved, but yet you're not to land yet, and so you've been saved, but yet you're being saved as you travel to shore, and then you'll be saved. Does that make sense? So I think it's a good illustration to realize that what salvation is. So as long as you're here and you obey the Lord and you don't get careless and fall off, you don't go and get back on this boat, there's a confidence and rest and assurance you can have. But yet, you're not out of danger yet completely. So our third point here. Maybe I don't have the right heading for it, but I'll change it here on the fly, I guess. The Word of God is the basis for assurance. I had it. What's the assurance based? What is assurance based on? But the Word of God is the basis for assurance. There's some people out there that have a feeling of being saved. Maybe your neighbor down the road, living in a divorce, remarriage situation, he feels saved, right? And then there's other people here, maybe in church, that are seeking to walk with God in the sincerity of their heart, but yet they struggle with feelings and they just don't feel saved. What do both of those people need to do? Go to the Word of God. Amen. Yeah. I mean, that man, maybe he feels saved, but yet he needs to go to the Word of God and see, what does God say about this? And that young person that may be struggling with having feelings, what does he or she need to do? Go to the Word of God. Look at the promises of God. Look at your life. Is there sin? Am I in transgression to the Lord's teachings? If so, repent. But go to the Word of God. Amen. So a scripture for that person on the road. It says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Then the truth is not in him."
one thing that people trip up sometimes on is the scriptures, like it says here in Romans 8:16, says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's true. The Word of God is true. And there is this witness that the Spirit can and does bear in our hearts. I can testify to that. But at the same time, I have to admit, I don't always have that. Who here always has that in their life? I don't know that anyone always has that feeling. But there again, it's not, our soul's condition is not based on those feelings. We need to go to the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. And put your faith in the Word of God, His promises. Is there sin in your life? If so, deal with the sin. Then believe in the Lord's promises. And feelings will follow. As you abide in Him, you'll experience that peace. And I'm confident you also, as you abide in Him and you believe His Word, you also experience that witness of the Spirit in time. And feelings will follow. So go to the Scriptures. For example, here's one here that you can go to. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy hearts. Romans 10, verse 8 through 11. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here's the promises of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Promises, brothers and sisters, promises. Exceeding great and precious promises that by these we can be partakers of the divine nature. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Salvation is based on the Word of God, not on feelings. Another promise here, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is the assurance of salvation based on? Feelings? No. It's based on these promises like this. God said it. Does God mean what He says? Yes, He does. Rest. They're sure they will hold you up. But again, you're on that lifeboat. You're on that little raft here. The Lord's faithful. He's well able to get that thing to shore. Your responsibility is to trust in Him, obey Him, stay on that boat, abide in Him, don't go back on the ship, and He is very faithful to get you to shore. So yes, just again, want to emphasize that God is a Heavenly Father, and a Heavenly Father wouldn't give us the exceeding great responsibility to work out our salvation and not give us any clue of where we're at. He's faithful. He's well able to give you conviction if you need conviction. He's also well able to give you peace in your heart as you trust in Him. So again, don't look to your feelings. Look to the Word of God. Whether the Word of God convicts you or gives you peace, it's the answer that we need for our soul. So may God bless you.